Church, I'm excited about today. I hope you are as well. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and take a seat. As you can tell, things are a little different this morning. They're a little different in one way because, as you know, if you've seen the signs on the door, we've had a water main break down the road, so we are without water this morning. So I want you to just take this opportunity as God is training us and getting us ready to do missions in a third world country where you're going to have to, that's right. You're going to have to go a time without some water, so thank you for understanding that and bearing with us on that little surprise that we got this morning. But this day is also different for us, and as you can tell, we've kind of changed things up with our worship service this morning. It's different because this morning I want to do something special with you. I want to share with you my heart for what I believe God is going to do at Fairway Baptist Church. And then I want to tell you the steps I think we need to take in order to get there and to see him do these things that I know he wants to do through you and through me. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a look at what God is going to do through Fairway Baptist Church. And I'm going to try this and see if this works. Okay. All right. I want you to take a Bible and I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 as we walk through this. God is getting ready to do some incredible things in the years ahead at Fairway Baptist Church. I think you're ready for it. Am I right? You're excited for what God is going to do. But before we talk about what those things are, I think there is something that some of you here in this room this morning need to hear. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2 with me. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Fairway Baptist Church, I want you to listen to me this morning. I want you to take comfort in your Lord, and I want you to know that you have more than paid for the sins that took place here. That is over and done. God has removed it. God has taken it away. He needs to be praised for that this morning. We need to thank the Lord that he has preserved Fairway Baptist Church. And you need to see from God's word and hear from him this morning a comforting word to tell you that that is over and done with. And it is time. And it's time to move on with what God has got next. It's time to follow him into the future and see what God is going to do through this church. Do you hear that from the Lord this morning? Are you ready? You're ready. All right. Well, let's take that step. First thing I want you to do is I want you to consider some of the things that God is already doing. I want you to understand that we're not waiting for God to work in the lives of Fairway Baptist Church. God is already working among you and doing some great things here. Right now we have 14 people, 14 candidates that are in our membership process at different stages. Some of them have just come in. Some of them we're going to be doing interviews with this afternoon to be able to present to you for a vote whether or not to accept them into our membership. So God is drawing people to this fellowship. You need to know that. God has preserved this church and he is drawing people to this fellowship to be part of us. That means he's sending us people, and with those people come gifts and come resources that God is going to use in a mighty way in the future. So that is something that God is doing right now. The next thing that I want you to see is that last week we had two professions of faith in Christ. That's good. That's right. Give him praise for that. God is working in the lives of people who are coming to our church who do not have a personal relationship with him. These are two people last week that I talked with personally that prayed and received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there are others in our midst that don't have a relationship with him that we are pleading with God to call them into that relationship so that we can have the responsibility of making disciples of these people and walking them through this process of learning what it means to be with the Lord and to live for him. So that's something else that God is doing. We have 5 candidates confirmed for baptism on November 15th. And in addition to those 5, there are others that I am talking to right now to assess, are they ready? Are they in the right place with the Lord? Is it right for us to put them through believer's baptism? So November 15th is going to be another great day of celebration for us because we get to baptize these new believers. We get to baptize them, and in doing that, that means that we're taking the responsibility and the honor that God is giving us to teach them God's ways and to walk with them. So I want you to see that God is already working in Fairway Baptist Church. He never stopped. God never stopped working in your lives. He is here. He is present with us. And God is doing great things right now. And God is going to do some even more incredible things than we can even comprehend right now in the future. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to tell you about stepping into the future. I'm going to tell you what that looks like. This is coming from my heart. This is coming from a time of prayer, of seeking God's face and saying, God, what do you want to accomplish to the people of Fairway Baptist Church? I'm going to give you a big picture, a big, big picture of what I think God is going to do. We're not nailing down specifics in every area yet because we want to give God the freedom to work. We want to give the Holy Spirit the freedom to guide us in this journey with God and see what He's going to do. But let me just tell you some of the things that I think God is getting ready to do through our people here. God wants to use this church. He wants to use you. He wants to use me to make sure that we reach every home in Wichita Falls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right here this morning as we're sitting here worshiping our Lord and we're listening to what God is going to do, there are people in our community right now who do not have a personal relationship with Christ. That should be a burden for us. It should be a burden on us to know that there are people within arm's reach of this church, figuratively speaking, arm's reach of this church, that don't know Christ, and if they died, they would spend an eternity in hell separated from Him. That ought to be a burden, and that ought to drive us to get out into this community and take this gospel message to them. And God's going to use this church to do that. He's going to use us to reach out into this community to find people who are struggling, who are broken. We've got to be able to minister to people from all different walks of life and all different types of struggles. We've got to be able to reach out to the homeless. We've got to be able to reach out to the poor. We've got to be able to reach out to those families that are broken, that husbands and wives are struggling, and they're fighting and their kids are watching all that. We've got to be able to minister to those broken families. We've got to be able to minister and reach out to people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol. We've got to reach out to women who are considering having an abortion. And we've got to come alongside them and urge them not to. And when they decide not to have that abortion, we've got to be there to help them through whatever decision they make next. Whether it's to place that child for adoption, and if they do, somebody in this church needs to be willing to adopt that child and help that child out. And if not, we need to come alongside that mother and help her raise that child. Those women out here who have gone through abortions, who are struggling with the aftermath of that, our church needs to be here for them and find a way to minister to them. We need to be able to minister to people in this community from children all the way up through our senior adults. We've got a strong college group. We need to continue to minister to them. We need to minister to our singles in this community. We need to find ways to help the families in our church grow in their marriage, to help parents grow in parenting. Those are all things that God is going to call us to do, and He's going to use us to reach every home in this community so that we can be the light that Christ has called us to be in this community. I want people in Wichita Falls, when they hear the name Fairway Baptist Church, to say that is the church that preaches and teaches the Bible, and they will tell you about Jesus every time you meet someone from that church. That's my desire in this community. I want us to be known as that church. We have to be known as that Bible-teaching, gospel-centered church that shares the love of Christ with everyone that we meet. That has to be our identity. The next thing is that I think God wants us to reach the nations. He wants us to reach the nations here in Wichita Falls and around the world. And you say, well, how do we reach the nations here? At the Air Force Base, there are people from other countries that are coming here to train and to study. They're in our community. God is bringing them to us. At Midwestern State University, this semester, there are 51 different countries that are represented among the student body over there. God wants us to reach those people. He brought them right here to us. How can we, in good conscience, stand in front of our Lord on that last day and know that those people were there, had no access to the gospel or limited access to the gospel in the country where they've come from, and they were right at our front door, and we didn't take the opportunity to reach out to them to share the love of Jesus Christ with them? I want you to think about what this could mean for us. If we are able to reach internationals from the Air Force Base and from the college and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and He calls them to be believers and to follow Him, and we make disciples of them, and they leave here and they go back to their countries, do you realize Fairway Baptist Church would be sending out a missionary force around this world that can change the shape of nations? Do you realize that? God could use Fairway Baptist Church to plant the gospel in other countries where we may never even be able to send people to have boots on the ground to do that. All because we were conscious of the fact that God is sending the nations to our front door. And we were reaching out to them and talking to them about the gospel and building them up and sending them out as missionaries from this church. But God doesn't only want us to reach those that He is sending to our front door. God wants you and me. He wants to use this church to go to the nations. There is such a heavy work that needs to be done for the gospel around this world. There are multiple opportunities that are out there for us to be involved in missions. I want us to strategically be involved in taking the gospel to unreached people. I want us to go and I want us to plant churches in places where there are no churches. I want us to go there and find leaders among believers that we, those people that we lead to Christ. And I want us to train up pastors, deacons, Bible study teachers so that we strengthen those churches and they're able to take over the work on their own. And when we're done doing that, we're going to leave that place. We're going to let them continue to work after we've trained them up and we've got them stabilized, and we're going to go somewhere else where there is no church and we're going to start all over again. I met this last week with a man who is doing some great work in Belize. God is doing some incredible things down there, but they don't have the help that they need. Belize is one of these countries where there's several different people groups. The Mayan people group that he is working with right now, they are in need of training for their pastors. There are villages that have no churches and have no gospel witness, and God is calling people to go down there to help this guy out, to be able to plant these churches and to be able to get these churches built up where they can take the gospel to all of their people group. Not just in Belize, but in Guatemala. There's another people, there are people in that country as well. So they're looking at crossing the border and they're needing help. There's friends of ours that are in places in Africa that are needing help to come into to Muslim villages to be able to start Bible studies. They do that by, they go in using well drilling platforms and wellness centers, and you know, doing medical care and those types of things in these villages to open the door for them to come in and do Bible studies. And you know, they need people to go and help them do it. It's great for us, as we're going to see in a couple weeks, we're going to take up our Lottie Moon Christmas offering to send that money out to help them be able to do it. But in addition to that money, they need manpower. They need us to go. And it's not enough for us to sit here in this church and to give money to missions. God has said for us to be involved in it, and God wants us to go. And he's going to show us exactly where he wants us to be and exactly what he wants us to do. Those are just a couple of opportunities that are out there in front of us. Listen, my desire is to see our college students taking at least one trip a year wherever it is that we're going. That if we find a place where God wants us to invest as a church in doing missions, we send our college students on a mission trip. My goal is to see that every one of our high school students, before they graduate high school, go on an international mission trip. It will change their life. There's two trips to one place. There's two opportunities for us to get involved there and to make a change for the, a life change for the gospel there. And then we're going to open it up for our adults and our families to be able to go and to be involved in this mission work as well. So that's 2 to 3 opportunities a year that we could be investing in one place for the gospel until churches are built up, leaders are equipped, and we can watch them take over the work, and then we can find the next place that God wants us to go and do. But God has a place for Fairway Baptist Church among the nations, and I believe he's calling us to get involved and participate in what he's doing around the world. The next thing is that God wants us to train up leaders and make disciples who will serve his church no matter where they are. The reality of our congregation is that in two ways, we have a transient congregation. We have college students who are here for a season. They come here, they go to college, they are part of us, and we're glad that you're here. And you're welcome anytime. Even if you go away, you can come back and be a part of us anytime. Those college students that are here, we have to be faithful in helping to train them. Our military families, we know when they come that they are here for, some of them are here for a short period of time, and God's going to move them and place them in another place. I don't see that as a burden. I see that as an opportunity. And I want you to see it as an opportunity. I want you to think about this. What if we had in place a leadership training center, a leadership training program, so that when our families in the military come to this church, when our college students come to this church, that we spend however many years it is, 3, 4 years, however many years, investing in their lives, creating them to be used as leaders in God's church. So that when they leave Fairway and they go to their next assignment, wherever it may be, wherever they go, wherever God calls them, when they join a church there, they become an asset to that church because they've been trained in leadership. Do you realize the impact that we can have across this country and around the world by training up leaders and giving them away to other churches? We multiply our ministry, we multiply our influence, and we need to see it that way. We need to take the time that we have with our college students and with our families, and we need to invest in them and train them up to be leaders in the local church so that wherever they go, they can be plugged in, and that church can say, thank you, God, for sending that family to us, and they can continue to do the work that God has called them to do as a family, or that has called this college student to do wherever God places them. It is an opportunity that you and I need to take advantage of. Those are the things that I think God is calling us to do. Some of the big picture things, and all the particulars of these things will fall into place as we walk with the Lord. But there is one more step I think that God wants for us to take before he does all of these things. There is one more step that I think God wants us to take. I want you to look with me in verses 3 through 4, still in Isaiah chapter 40. A voice is calling, "Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Do you see it in this text? That God says before His glory can be revealed, sometimes there's this season of clearing the way for the Lord, of getting ready for what God is going to do next. Fairway, I think that is the season that we are entering into. That God is saying to us, there are some incredible things that are coming down the road. I'm already working in your midst. I'm going to continue to work. I'm going to continue to do some things. Here's the big picture of what I want. I want you reaching the city. I want you reaching the nations. I want you training up leaders. I want to strengthen this church to do some amazing things globally for my kingdom. And God is saying to us, if you want to be a part of that, that's great. I want you to come on board and participate in my glory. But as we see in these verses, there is this season of clearing the way for the Lord. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to commit in this season to three things. I'm going to ask you to commit to pray. Prayer is the thing that brings our will in line with the will of God. It is the thing that helps to unite us as a church. And so we're going to be a praying church. You already are. I was blown away the first 6 to 18 that I attended here at how many people showed up to that meeting to pray. Prayer is the thing that's going to bring us in line with the will of God, and we have to be a praying church. So I'm going to ask you in this season to make a strong commitment to pray. I'm going to ask you to prepare. That's the second thing. We're going to talk about all these in just a minute. I'm going to ask you to prepare and getting ready for what God is going to do in your life and then things that we need to do as a church in order to prepare for what God is going to do. Then I'm going to ask you to train. I'm going to ask you to take advantage of Bible studies. I'm going to ask you to take advantage of opportunities that we give to you as a church to grow in different areas of your walk with Jesus Christ. Can you say those with me? Pray, prepare, train. One more time. That's the action steps I'm asking you to take in this season as we clear the way for the Lord. Pray, prepare, train. Let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about what this is going to do for us. I'm going to ask you to pray three things specifically. As we are praying together as a church, as you are praying as a family about what God is doing at Fairway, and as you in your individual time pray, these are the three things that I want you to pray and ask for. I want you to pray to God, show us the way, God. I've given you a big picture of what I know God wants to do through this church. I want you praying alongside of me and pleading with the Lord, show us the way. God, you have got to lead us. This can't be something that we're doing on our own. We have to be following God in everything that we do. It has to be Him leading the way. So God, show us the way. The second thing, provide our every need. There are going to be resources that we need in order to accomplish what God is asking us to do, and God will give us those resources. He owns everything, and He will grant us what we need to do what He is asking us to do. But the Bible also says that you and I are supposed to ask Him for those things. He wants to hear that we're being faithful and trusting Him and acknowledging that He is the one who gives those. And so we're going to ask you to pray for those resources. We're going to ask you to pray and ask God to send us leaders to help us accomplish everything that we've got to do. We're going to ask you to pray. We're praying for God to give us the financial resources, for God to give us any of the other resources that we need, the materials and things that we may need to accomplish this big picture that God's going to give us to do. So we're going to pray, God, provide our every need. The third thing, I want you to pray and ask God to use you in His plan. God, use me in your plan. If we as a church, every one of us, aren't willing to do what God is asking us to do, then it's not going to work. You have to be willing to be on board with what God is doing, and you have to be willing to be used by God. Maybe some of you are saying, I've never made this type of commitment. You know what? God will show you where He wants you. As we present opportunities to you and places for you to serve, God's going to show you. If you have gifts that God has given you and there's a way that you're thinking you might be able to use them to help the church, you need to let me and our elders and our leadership know so that we can pray about those things and figure out how that fits into our body of Christ so that you can be a blessing to this church and to this community and ultimately wherever else God may send us. So those are the three things that I'm going to ask you to pray. Show us the way, provide our every need, and use me in your plan. Let's talk about preparation. Proverbs 24:27 says, prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then build your house. You see it in two different places from Scripture. We just read in Isaiah 40 where there's this idea of clearing the way for the Lord, of making things ready for God to come and do the incredible things that He wants to do. You see in Proverbs the wisdom that is there in preparing the field and making it ready before you build. And so this time of preparation is going to be important for us. The first aspect of it is that it is personal. We're asking you to do some things in your own life to prepare and clear the way for the Lord. Not only in your life, but in your families and in your homes. What does this mean? It means, first of all, if there is any sin in your life, you need to confess that, you need to repent of it, and you need to remove it so that God can have the freedom to work and do what He wants to do. That's an individual level. Any sin that is in our lives, we have to confess it. We have to get it out there. We have to repent of it, and we have to remove it and let God remove it so that He can do what He wants to do through us. You need to have these conversations with your families. What are the things in your family that you need to do to strengthen yourself as a family unit, to be prepared to do whatever God is going to ask us to do? Because listen, Fairway, at some point down the road, all of us are going to have to make some type of sacrifice in order to accomplish what God is wanting us to do. Because God's got to see us acting in faith. God's got to see us trusting Him. And at times that means we have to make sacrifices. So what are you prepared as a family to do to make these things happen through Fairway Baptist Church? You need to be having those conversations right now. What are we going to do as a family when we face these challenges as a church? How is our family going to step up and help pray, prepare, and train and accomplish these great tasks that God is going to give Fairway Baptist Church? The next thing is that this is also corporate. There are some things as a church that we need to do in order to prepare for what God is going to do next through us. Let me talk about some of those. First thing is we have to update our technologies and update our facilities as the Lord provides for us to be able to do that. We have to do this because we need to be able to better serve you in those times of training and preparation. Let me talk to you about a couple of the things that need to take place. I mean, first of all, in our sanctuary, if you sit on the first two or three rows and you're looking right now, is your neck hurting? If you sit down front, this kind of hurts your neck a little bit looking up. There's some touch-up things that we need to do in here, but one of the big things that we need to do is we need to kind of redo some of this up here so that it's a little more friendly to visitors and a little more friendly to in our worship service. So there's some things that need to be done in our sanctuary. There are some things that need to be done in our office. The internet in this place is horrible. It's absolutely horrible. We are looking at what it's going to cost and what it's going to take for us to put in a brand new Wi-Fi system here, so that you, not only the staff, but that you can have access to the internet, because some of these things that we're going to do, some of the training we're going to offer you, you're going to want to be able to get on the internet and follow along with lessons and things that we're doing. We want to give you that access so that you can train and you can prepare for what God is calling us to do. So we've got to update those technologies. I've walked around in the parking lot this morning, and this was during Bible study, not even during our worship time. I think there were three parking spots that were open right here, and maybe four all the way in the back here. We're out of parking. If people drive through this parking lot out here and they don't find a parking spot and they're visitors, they're just coming by to visit, do you know what they're going to do if it's hard for them to find a place to park? They're going to drive off. That's a problem that we've got to face. We've got to figure out, what are we going to do about our parking? How do we solve that? There are other things around these facilities as we pray about this and as we look through this, we're going to have to think about updating our technologies, updating our facilities so that we can pray, prepare, and train and receive the people that God is going to bring here to Fairway Baptist Church. We've got to be able to receive our people here in this community and be able to minister to them. And updating our facilities is just a small part of that. So we're going to be praying about that. The other thing in preparation is we've got to put in structure and ministry teams that can help us organize and plan all of these ministries that we have just talked about. So, I mean, we've talked about reaching people in this community who are going through different struggles and different phases of life. All of these are potential different ministries that Fairway Baptist Church can be involved in. We're going to need structure. We're going to have to put teams in place that can lead these ministries. We need people who are passionate about a particular area, whether it's youth, whether it's children, whether it's helping, you know, helping women, whether it's men's ministry, senior adults, all of these different ministries that we're going to have here at this church. If God sends people to us in these different seasons of life, we have to be faithful and minister to them. And that's going to take organization. It's going to take planning on a calendar, of putting things on there, of times for fellowship, times for Bible study, organizing all of that and pulling it all together. So we've got to take some time to put this structure in place. Our small group Bible studies on Sunday morning, we need to organize, better organize those and structure those so we can provide training for our teachers so that when our teachers are teaching a class, they understand how to conduct a classroom, that they know what the purpose of those Bible studies are and how it fits into the bigger plan of Fairway Baptist Church. Many of you have talk to me about link groups. You're ready to see those come back on Sunday nights. We're going to get those up and running. There are some logistical challenges that we are facing with childcare and some other things, but that's part of that structure and that planning that we have to put in place in order for those small groups to happen on Sunday evenings. So all of these things are preparation for what things that we have to do to get ready for what God is going to do next. The next thing is training. Ephesians 4:12, in talking about the role of an elder, says that the role of an elder is to equip the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. We have to, if we're going to ask you to commit to stepping out and doing these things that God is calling us to do, we're going to have to train you for it. You've got to be trained in evangelism to be able to go out here and reach these people in our community. You've got to have the confidence to be able to share your faith, and that's what evangelism training is going to do. We're going to have to train you in missions and how that works. If you're going to join with us and go on a mission trip, we need to give you some training for that. Bible study teachers, you need to be trained in how to run a classroom and how to teach a lesson, and you need to understand those things. We need to train people that can help these new believers when they come in. We can't just baptize them and let them dry and sit them in a pew. We have to be able to walk them through a process of discipleship. So we have to train on what our process of discipleship is going to be. We have to put all of that in place and train you how to do it. Church, your staff is here. Your elders are here to train you and equip you, as the Bible says in Ephesians 4:12, to do the ministry of the church. You do the ministry, and we're going to train you to do it. So we're going to ask you to do a couple of things here. In order to train, we're going to ask you first to continue to regularly attend a worship service where you can be united with this body underneath the preaching and teaching of God's Word. From this pulpit is where you're going to hear what God is saying to us from His Word and how it needs to be applied to His church. And from here is where you're going to get the vision for what God is going to do through Fairway Baptist Church. This worship service is an important part of your walk with the Lord and an important part of your role here, your participation in it, and your role at Fairway Baptist Church. We're going to ask you to participate in a Bible study or small group Sunday morning. When we get the link groups going back on Sunday night, you need to be involved there so that you have accountability and so that you are brought underneath in another way the teaching of God's Word. That's how you get equipped. You get in the Bible. You get in the Bible and you talk about it with people. You listen to others teach it. You listen to me preach it. You need to be involved in a Bible study somewhere, somehow in this church. So we're going to ask you in your training that that's going to be another part of it. The third thing is that I want to ask you to take advantage. When we give you opportunities, when we present training opportunities for you, whether it's in evangelism, whether it's in missions, whether it's in benevolence, whatever it is, women's ministry, men's ministry, whatever it is that we put out there in front of you and give you the opportunity to train in, I'm going to ask you whenever you're able to take advantage of those opportunities so that you can be equipped and prepared for what God is going to do. So that's the training portion of what we're doing. Now let's go back to prepare one more time. There is one more element in our preparation in order to receive what God is going to do in clearing the way for the Lord. One more thing that I believe that we need here at Fairway Baptist Church. We need a full-time associate pastor that can assist us in our preparation and training. The need for this position has already been presented to the elders. They're on board with it. And I have shared this with the deacons, and I have asked for their input on this. So it's been talked about with our leadership, and now I'm going to talk about it with you. I'm going to explain to you why I think that this person is needed in order to help us accomplish everything that I have just talked with you about. So let's talk about why we need an associate pastor. We need an associate pastor so that I can devote myself fully to the preaching and teaching of God's word, to training up our staff and our elders and our deacons, and that I can focus on praying about the vision that God is going to give this church and how we're supposed to go about implementing that. And the last element of that is that I need to be free to be your shepherd. I need to be in your lives. I can't tell you how many times since I've been here in the first almost, what, eight weeks now, that I have either reached out to some of you and you're shocked that the pastor would call you. Or that I'd show up at the hospital before surgery and pray with you and be told, I've never had a pastor from our church come and do this for us. That breaks my heart. How can I lead you spiritually if I don't know what God is doing in your life? And if you don't have a relationship with me where you can trust me, we have to have that relationship. I have to have that with you. I have to be your shepherd. Now, all these things that we're talking about and training and preparing and putting all these different things together, I could give myself over to training everyone that's involved in our Bible studies on Sunday morning, training the leaders for our link groups, training those that are going to be leading our women's ministry, training those that are going to be leading our men's ministry, training those that are involved in our senior adults, training those in our youth, training those in our children, helping everyone understand and training them in evangelism, how to share their faith and how to do missions. I can do all of those things, and I can still preach and I can still teach, because I'm looking at starting a teaching ministry for you on Wednesday nights to help further equip you in the understanding of God's word and in doctrine and in theology. I'm going to start that sometime after the first of the year on Wednesday night. So preaching on Sunday morning, working with Brian to put together all of our worship service, teaching on Wednesday night, doing all of that, and then taking on all these other responsibilities and being there to shepherd you and be involved in your life. I can do all of those things if the church decides that that's what I need to do. I can do all of that, but I want you to understand something's going to suffer. And we cannot afford for any of it to suffer. The more time that I have to prepare, to study, to write, and to pray over Sunday morning and what I'm teaching on Wednesday night, the better it's going to be for all of us. And I'm going to be actively involved in all of these ministries and all of these things that we're going to be doing, but we need an associate pastor who can be a right hand to me so that I can sit down with this man and I can cast this vision in front of him and our staff, and then I can say to him, now go and execute what God has said for us to do. That's one of the reasons that we need an associate pastor. I need to be free to be able to give my attention to the preaching of God's word so that you benefit on Sunday morning, and the teaching of God's word so that you benefit on Wednesday night, and that I have the time to be able to be your shepherd and be in your life to counsel you and help you walk with the Lord. The next thing, we need an associate pastor to help us structure and organize all of these ministries that we're talking about. This is a big task. These are a lot of, as God adds these ministries, we've got to have teams, we've got to have leadership in place. That means someone's going to have to meet with these teams to help give them direction, to help train these leaders. And this associate pastor is going to be able to help us do that, to help us structure Sunday morning Bible studies and our Sunday night link groups. The next thing is, we need an associate pastor to help us develop and implement a strategy for evangelism and outreach in our community. Listen, that's exciting to think about getting to every house in this community and finding out where the believers are and going after those who are not believers. That's an exciting thing. I hope you are excited about it, but I want you to understand it takes a lot of work. And we need this man to help us put this strategy of outreach together so that we can reach this community. We need an associate pastor to bring greater depth to our pastoral staff. This will be another vocationally trained theologian that you will have access to when it comes to having to ask questions and understand what God's word is. And he will even be available to help counsel. This man will be another theologian on our staff, a pastor theologian that can help us as we walk with the Lord. We need this man to assist us in training and equipping our people. We've already talked a little bit about that. He's going to be involved in helping to train you and equip you to do the work that God has got for Fairway Baptist Church. We need this man to help us provide pastoral oversight of our ministries in order to ensure that we are properly training our leaders and giving our people the best opportunity for spiritual growth. On Sunday morning, we have Bible studies that are taking place that I cannot go in and sit in and be a part of because I'm preparing in here with Brian and others to get our worship service going. This associate pastor will be able to go and sit in on Bible studies on Sunday morning. He will be able to go and sit in on our link groups on Sunday night. He will be able to observe how our teachers are teaching and what's going on there so that he can provide positive feedback. constructive feedback to help them become better teachers. One of the things that you're going to hear me talk about is that excellent disciple makers make excellent disciples. And if you're in a position of leadership, you should want to be an excellent disciple maker. And so this man will give us the oversight that we need. He can sit in on those classrooms. He can sit in with our youth. He can sit in with our college. He can sit in with our different areas of our children's ministry at different times. And he can come and talk to me. He can talk to our elders and our leadership about where we need to improve in those areas of ministry. I can't do that on Sunday morning. I can't be there because I'm focusing on helping get this worship service together. Now, I put these two together for a reason. I want you to notice something here. What do you notice about this man, about this position? He's going to be involved in equipping the saints, and we said he's going to have pastoral oversight. Ephesians 4:12 that we read, that verse about equipping the saints, that is Paul making a very distinct role, speaking of a very distinct role for an elder in the church. I want you to see this man being called to do these two things, to equip you, and to have pastoral oversight. Remember, an elder is an overseer. So we're talking about not calling just a vocational staff person. We're talking about calling an elder to Fairway Baptist Church. You cannot make a distinction in the Bible between a pastor and an elder. Pastor and elder do the same thing. They equip and they oversee. It's one and the same. And so we're calling an elder to Fairway Baptist Church. Now, let me answer a couple of questions I think that you may have right now as we're talking about this. Why do we not need to hire a children's minister right now? That's a good question. It's a legitimate question. Our children's ministry is a very large ministry in our church. Before I answer that question, I think we have to answer this one. This is something that as your pastor, I have to consider in every decision that we make when we're talking about using our resources to do something for God's kingdom. I have to ask myself, how do we maximize spiritual growth and kingdom impact with the resources that God has entrusted to us? How do we do that? How do we maximize spiritual growth and kingdom impact with the resources that God has given to us? If God gives us more resources, then we can do more. But we have to be faithful with what He has given us. And as your pastor, I have to be able to stand in front of you and say the best way for us to accomplish what God is calling us to do, to be good stewards of what He has given us, so that we maximize spiritual impact, spiritual growth and kingdom impact. I have to be able to tell you what that is. And I don't think that a children's minister does that. I don't think it's the best use of our resources. If we brought a children's minister on, that children's ministry would be even stronger. And it's great now, but it would be even stronger than it is. But in doing that, every other ministry that we have in this church would suffer and be unprepared, because I would still have all the responsibility of making sure that we trained in all these other areas. And our children are an important part of our church. They are an important part of our ministry. But it does not help us to hire a children's minister to be able to minister to everyone in different seasons of life, from children to our youth, to our college students, to our singles, to our marrieds, to our parents, and to our senior adults. A children's minister does not maximize spiritual growth and kingdom impact in all of those lives. Now, I want you to see a few things about our children's ministry. It's what you need to know. I have two children in our children's ministry, and there's no way that I'm going to let our children's ministry falter and fail. That's not going to happen. I have two children there, and I can guarantee you as a father, not in addition to being a pastor, but in being their father, I'm going to make sure that our children have everything that they need to have God's word written on their heart so that they hear the gospel at an early age and they are given opportunities to respond to what God is doing in their lives. Miss Emma Kate is doing an excellent job so far, and we have her until January 2017. I meet with her every Monday and talk with her about our children's ministry, so I know what's going on there. We're making plans and things that we're going to do within the next year as part of this big vision that God is giving us and moving us in this new direction. So she is doing great. I want you to know that. I want you to make sure that you understand that she loves what she's doing and she loves those kids. And even though she's the interim, we have time to assess what God is doing. And here's the next thing. The elders of this church, we are committed to this ministry, and we are going to be looking for a bivocational children's minister that can come in and help us organize and structure and administratively run that children's ministry and keep it as strong as it is and help us take it to the next level. We are committed to that. I want you to hear that. So those are the things that you need to know about our children's ministry right now. And your next question would be, well, what about a youth minister? Why aren't we hiring a full-time youth minister? Same things apply here. There's not the best use of our resources right now. It is about a dozen students that are gathering together. And if we did that again, everything else would suffer. We would not be able to minister to people in our different seasons of life. And I want you to understand a few things about the children, about the youth ministry right now. I have a child in that youth ministry. I am not going to let it falter or fail. Right now, TJ is leading that ministry. We are putting together a volunteer team of adults that are going to come alongside of our students, that are going to help them in their Bible study. They're going to put together fellowships for them. They're going to help us build that ministry up. And that's an area, if you're interested in getting involved and serving in, you can talk to me, you can talk to TJ. We're looking for adults to come in and to join this team so that we have a team of adults that can help to minister to our youth. So those are two questions that I had to answer for you this morning. What about those two positions? Neither one of those maximizes spiritual growth and kingdom impact underneath the resources that we have right now. Now, what about this? Do we have the resources to hire an associate pastor? Yes, we do. In the last budget amendment that Fairway voted on and accepted, there is a full-time position that has been allocated in our budget, and there were no details laid out as to what that position was going to look like. They wanted to wait until the next senior pastor got here and could have some input and some say on what this was going to be. So there are resources that are there for us to hire this man and bring him on to help us do the things that we need to do. Now let's talk about the process. I know you have some questions about this. I'm going to outline for you how we're going to go about bringing this associate pastor into our church. And this process is laid out in accord with our bylaws. So the first thing is the search. I've been looking now for about the last 3 weeks, looking for candidates. I'm going to continue to look for candidates. I'm going to find some guys that meet the qualifications that I think that we need. I'm already talking with people, some of the same people that your search team and elders talked to when they brought me here. So I'm calling those guys and I'm talking to them. I'm looking at the seminary. I'm asking other guys that I know who's out there, who's available. There are a few people that I've, candidates that I've had contact with that I've just tried to feel them out to see where they are. Some of them aren't receptive, some of them were. And so the search is going to go until I narrow down to one candidate. When I narrow down to one candidate, what I'm going to do is send that candidate a questionnaire. He will get a questionnaire that's very similar to the one that the search team sent me. As a matter of fact, it has the same questions with the exception of a couple that I've deleted that are not relevant to what his role will be here. And I've added a couple of more that are relevant to his role. We're going to find out about his call to ministry. We're going to find out about his salvation. We're going to find out about his doctrine, his theology, his methodology. We're going to question him. For those of you who don't know, there were 40-something questions on the questionnaire that I got. And when I turned it in, it was about 30 pages, if I'm not mistaken. So this guy's going to get that questionnaire. In addition to that questionnaire, he's going to get 12 scenarios that I have written down for him to tell me how he would handle each one of those scenarios. Because I've got to know, does he think similar to me? Does he handle problems the same way I do? Is the way that he reacts and the way that he handles certain situations going to be in line with the leadership of this church? So he's getting those questionnaires and he's getting the scenarios. Once I get that questionnaire back, in the scenarios, and I read through it, and I'm still convinced this is the man, then I'm going to take that questionnaire and the scenarios to the elders, and the three of us are going to talk about it. We're going to look at it. If the three of us look at this man, and after looking at the questionnaire and calling his references, say, yep, we still think this is the guy, then I'm going to come up here on Sunday morning and tell you, I believe we found the man. We're going to give you a week so that you have time to prepare, and you can come back on that Sunday night, and I will tell you everything you need to know about this man. I will answer any questions that you have about him. I will give you his bio, tell you about his family. I'll tell you about his education. I'll tell you about his qualifications, and I'll explain to you why I think he is the man for us. And you will be free to ask me any questions about him that night. Once that takes place, we're going to set up an interview weekend. He will come up on a Friday to stay here through Sunday. Friday night when he gets here, I will take him, and the elders and I will meet with the deacons so that our deacons can meet this man and can question him. We'll do that here at the church. Saturday morning, he will come back up here with his wife. Scott and Randy and I will sit down with him, and we will interview him, and we will interview his wife very, very thoroughly. We're going to put him through the ringer. At some point during that interview, when we're confident we've got all the answers we need from his wife, she will be dismissed. Sharon will entertain her. If they have kids, she'll take care of their kids, and Scott and Randy and I will continue to pound on this man. We will put him through every question, every scenario that we can think of, anything that we need to address with him, we will address it with him, and we will not come out of that room until the three of us are satisfied that we know everything we need to know about this man and that he is God's man for this church. If we go through that interview process on that Saturday morning and the three of us say, no, he's not the guy, it's done. We start over. If he is the guy, then the next step is we will allow him to preach to the church on Sunday morning. After he preaches to you on Sunday morning, we will have a fellowship back in the gym so that you can come back and meet the candidate, so that you can approach him and his wife and ask him questions. Now, we're not going to do the formal set him up like you did with me, but he will stay there and be accessible to you until every one of you who wants to ask him questions have had opportunity to meet him and ask the questions that you want. Once that process is over, the clock starts ticking. We'll go into 2 weeks of prayer. During that 2 weeks, any individual member of Fairway Baptist Church can submit in writing biblical reasons why they believe this man is not qualified to be an elder of this church. You can submit those to me, you can submit those to Scott, you can submit those to Randy. Any of those that come up, we will deal with them, we will talk with you about it, we will deal with the candidate if there's something that's there. At the end of those 2 weeks, if there are no biblical grounds for why this man should not be an elder of Fairway Baptist Church, then I will call him and officially offer him the position. We will set a start date, and we will walk into the future clearing the way for the Lord. Now, tonight at 6:18, the elders are going to be there before we go into our time of prayer to be able to answer any questions that you may have about all that I've said this morning, including this process. We're also going to go into a time together to be able to pray that God will make us of one mind about everything that you've heard this morning, that we will be able to walk together in doing what God is calling us to do. Listen, I believe that hiring an associate pastor is an exciting and a necessary step for Fairway Baptist Church. But I want you to understand, it's just one piece of a bigger puzzle. It's not the issue. It's one piece of a bigger puzzle. The bigger picture, it is, always will be, the glory of God. The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't matter, no matter what we do, if we are not concerned with his glory and our hearts are not ready to serve him joyfully and to do the things that he has asked us in a way that honors him, then it's not worth any of it. We have to remember that this is all about our God. It's not about us. Here's my prayer. As we begin to walk through this season of prayer, preparation, and training, I hope that you and I, if nothing else, if we gain nothing else out of all of this, that we get a greater zeal for God so that we serve him out of the joy that we have for our Lord. Here's the second thing. As I just mentioned a while ago, if we cannot delight in the presence of the Lord and his work among us, then everything that we do as a church, every leadership role that we have, every place that you serve becomes a burden. And it can't be that way. It's not about us. It's about him. And we need to find joy in serving the Lord through all of this. So what are we doing? There you go. Pray. Pray. Say it again. Pray. Pray. Fairway Baptist Church, I have fallen in love with you. And I love what God is doing here, and I look forward to what he's going to do in the years ahead. And I want you to know something right now. You have been faithful to him, and God is going to continue to be faithful to you. In this moment, we are taking that step into that next season, and we need to praise God for it. We need to celebrate what he is doing. So I'm going to ask Brian and our worship team, they're going to come up, and we are going to go into a time of worship right now together as a church, thanking God for what he has done and rejoicing in what he is about to do. Fairway Baptist Church, let's clear the way for the Lord.